We have finished, and then we're going to start with the meeting for tonight. We just praise you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that is with us. We ask you, Lord, that you, Lord, minister to each one of us tonight, that we may be able to, Lord, connect with you, to receive wisdom and understanding, Lord, and to allow, Lord, your Spirit to guide us as we are going to be sharing, our Lord, and as, Lord, you are going to be teaching us how to be effective in ministering to others, in sharing the gospel, in, Lord, communicating the truth and the good news to people that we come in contact with. We praise and thank you, Lord, that this is, we know that it's your desire. This is the commission that you give to each one of us, that we may not be just spreading religion, but we may just spreading the life and the truth of God, Lord, to minister, Lord, to everyone that we come in contact with, Lord, according to what your direction is, according to what how openly they are, according, Lord, to your anointing that makes the difference both in their, our life and in the ability to produce results. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, right now in advance in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, so there were some questions last week, and some points were made that I want to kind of go back and explain better, because we just that hardly the time to get into some of them. And, I believe that the way the Great Commission is implemented is not really very effective, because instead of going according to what the early church did, what today is happening, and we go according to religion of man and ideas that were spread, in Christian societies. When instead, today, first of all, we are not in a Christian society and not a Christian environment anymore. And second, the people are far away from being able to understand what we are trying to convey. So, there are some basic principles, really, that one has to understand. People today are not Christianly educated. They don't have a clue of what Christianity is, including many Christians, and don't have a clue on how to minister the truth to others. And this is why the church, instead of expanding, is shrinking and is becoming weaker and weaker, because the experience of many Christians is really very superficial and is not spiritual, but mostly religious. There is not much difference from today Christianity to the time of the Pharisees, from my point of view. Okay, we just follow traditions of man and religious ideas instead of really having a connection with the Holy Spirit and the power to change things. So, one of the basic concepts that I really think comes through very clearly in the Great Commission and in the early church operation was that, there is a sequence of things that need to be taking place. Instead of talking about a doctrine, instead of talking about, our ideas that Christian takes ages to grasp, we should be witnessing rather than doing those things. Witnessing must come first, then explaining. And when I'm talking about witnessing, you know, the word witness in itself, which is martyr in Greek, okay, means that we share what we have experienced. That we tell others our story, not some doctrine, not some religious ideas, not some advanced theology. They won't understand. They won't understand our terminology. They won't understand our concept. They won't understand anything. And the conclusion that they get is a mind information that has actually no power whatsoever. People need to, share their experience. Jesus said, as you have received, give. He didn't tell, the disciples at the beginning when they were ministering with Jesus weren't talking about doctrine. They weren't talking about what Paul said or what the other things said, because people were not able to understand. They couldn't even understand Jesus. And he was talking, in parable, and there was he explained why he was talking in parable, because unless people are open and willing, they were not going to get anything. And he wasn't trying to reach them logically. He wasn't trying to reach them theologically. He was, hitting them on their heart and sharing some things that if they were open, they would bring a witness to them. And he was touching them in the area of need more than anything else. See, a need-oriented ministry is what mostly he was doing. He was demonstrating the kingdom. He was demonstrating the love of God. And was demonstrating that God wants to minister to the people according to where their needs were. God cared about them. Not about something is going to happen when they go to heaven, but what happens when happens right now down here. This was the pattern. This was the thing. And even when he said, now the conclusion, the goal was not, to stop there. That was just the beginning. Then was a question of discipling them and making them understand and making them grow in him. But that is not something that happens in 5 minutes or even in 5 days. That happens over months and sometimes years. There are people who have been Christian for 50 years and they are still babies today because the church doesn't make them grow. And when it comes to receiving from God, they have not a clue of what they should be doing. Now, there are not many people who tell you that, because most people are just religion and they have to hold on to their religion. That's all. That's the bottom line. But I'm not religious and I couldn't care less about religion. My job is to demolish religion and establish Christianity. So, I don't have to preserve any denominational ideas or organizations. And that's where the problem is and has been for 2,000 years. Now, so, witnessing, is the key part that we had to learn to do properly. And that involves becoming transparent. And we can see that often in Paul. Paul was sharing in different ways according to the people he was dealing with. And that's one of the important things that we had to recognize too, and that's what Jesus did too. Didn't deal with everybody the same way. I mean, didn't deal with the woman caught in adultery at the same way as he dealt with the Pharisees. I mean, he was much gentler with the woman caught in adultery than with the Pharisees. But anyway, that's another story. But, you know, the idea is that, you know, we have to, number one, earn the right to speak. Just because, you know, somebody has a religious title or something like that means absolutely nothing. Because before God, there is no such a thing. Before God, there is no layman and clergyman. We are all the same. We read the scripture in First Peter, you know, but we are a chosen generation. Okay, that means chosen, elect, pulled out of the world. Okay, a royal priesthood. That means, you know, that we have, you know, we have to be intermediary between God and the people, you know, bringing, you know, the truth to them, ministering to them, a holy nation. That means, you know, separated from the world, you know, and that is, you know, the nation idea is not just a nation like Israel in the past. You know, actually the word there was used for the Gentile. So, you know, this has to do with the fact that we are everybody the same. Okay. In his own special people. Okay. God, people, working, operating, ministering for him. You know, making his business our business, that you may proclaim the praises of him. And that's what the major impact, the major objective of our, you know, witnessing is. To praise God for what he has done for us. If we have little to praise God about, we have really our effective, you know, our ministry is not going to be really effective because we have not received too much. The more we have received, and the more we are going to be able to share what the praises of God. Because we can say, this he has done for me. This is my experience. This is what happened to me. And it's not just in the positive. Also in the corrections, also in the different things, the different phases that we went through. We're going to talk more about that. This is important to understand. Okay, we don't have to explain God to them. You cannot explain God. Our job is not to justify that we believe God. We have not to be apologetic about our belief. We have to give reason for our belief. That's the way Peter said. And the reason is because what he has done for us. And that gives him glory. You see, we give him glory by revealing, sharing what he has done in our life. And the, you know, the gratitude, the rejoicing that we experience because of what he has done, the changes that he did in us. If we don't have any changes to show bad religion, we have very little impact on anybody. Now, see, and this is the bottom line of the scripture I just was quoting, 1 Peter 2:9, you know, really summarizes some of the, you know, things that are very important to understand to be an effective witness. Okay, we proclaim the praises of him because we experienced his work in our life. Now, according to the degree in which we ourselves interacted with God, to the degree of our relationship with God, that will determine the experiences that we had. And, you know, the point is, many believers, they don't witness anything because they don't have had that much of experience. And so, you know, they really didn't have a relationship that does a great impact, and the only thing they had to share is to get somebody to go to some formulas. They didn't need any formula to get people to the Lord. They want to go to the Lord when they see what's there. See, that's what makes all the difference. That's what makes us, you know, have an impact, because, you know, every cult comes to you and passes on their doctrine and religion. Most of the denominations do exactly the same thing. This is not what Jesus did when he gave us the Great Commission. The signs shall follow them that believe. I mean, the sign that to follow us is not, you know, is not the power of the sign that counts. But the sign comes because God is with us. And because our attitude, our experience, our faith, okay, is there to bring them to pass. It's not us. Is that why we give glory to God, and God moves in the situation because we trust Him, because we have experienced Him, and so we can do things that are actually, you know, Jesus said, the work that I do, you shall do also, and greater work than this I do, because, you know, you, those who believe in me. So that's the bottom line. Okay, so we had to understand. Sometimes the training that is given for the staff is completely the wrong training. I had tons of books on evangelism, and I can agree maybe with some items in them, but most of the time, to me, they're a waste of time. Now, see, the bottom line is that, you know, that, let me go back to that verse, 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him. And why? Who has called out you out of darkness into a marvelous light. You see, that's what has to come out of our sharing, of our witness, is the light, the marvelous light that is established now in us, and the darkness that was there before. And if we share it as we really have experienced it, that gets across more effectively than anything else. Every believer that experienced the transformation process that takes place when God changes them has a powerful testimony proclaiming what God has done for them. Now, the thing is for us, number one, to do it, but before that is to learn how to do it. Okay. Is not, you know, the right theology that brings them to the Lord. Some theologians with a PhD in theology are not even saved. I say that all the time because I see from their books, from what they say, they cannot come to a conclusion on what the truth is. They tell you all the different interpretations, all the different stories, but they can say, but this is true and this is false. That means they don't understand what they are talking about, or they're compromising the values to please everybody else. And God doesn't call us to compromise the value, He calls us to speak the truth in love. That is scriptural. That is what Jesus did. That's what He said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, not anything that you want to believe. Anybody's following me where I'm going with this? All right. Now, you know, one has to have a wisdom in doing this, because, you know, some things can be understood, other things cannot be understood by everybody. So, you know, if you start, you know, explaining all the different terminology that we generally use in Christianity, you know, salvation, you know, or other things like, you know, the redemption and atonement and all this other stuff. At the beginning, these people don't have a clue what you're talking about, and you lose them even before you get them. So is that kind of reasoning comes after, when you start discipling people, and when you start, but there are some basic things that they can understand right away. And they can understand it as you share your own experience. That's the key. You know, like, for example, repentance. Okay? You say, oh, how you start somebody with repentance? No, you don't start with them with repentance. You start with your repentance. That's what you share. You share the difference between before and after, and how you got there. You are not pointing at them. You're pointing at yourself. If you cannot share about your own repentance, then you cannot share with anybody that can listen to you. You don't say you are a sinner to somebody that doesn't have a clue of what you're talking about. You are saying, I was a sinner and God changed me, and that's how I came through that process. That's what you showed about my own life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because everybody has to have gone through that if you today have a relationship with God. And it's not a question of saying, oh, now how good I am, and how saved I am, and how saint I am, when, you know, the only thing that you are is what He made you, not what you are. So you are grateful that He pulled you out of darkness into His marvelous light. But you had to make that distinction for them, because they don't see it, because they have been in the world. Now, deeply inside, they know. But they are used to justify themselves, because that's what the old world does. So you had to start to show Him the process according to which we can get to the place in which we are changed, transformed. So you see, the transform, you know, believing in the heart is something that has to start operating in them, not logically constructed in their mind. Okay? This is the way God works. It doesn't work through theology, it doesn't work through doctrine, it works through the heart. And He is after the heart of the person. And sometimes the heart is convinced before their logic is. Actually, not sometimes, all the time, because it takes a long time for their logic to line up with what the heart is telling. this is why I really don't believe in apologetics. I don't care what anybody says, because I've never seen apologetic convert anybody.
Excuse only me, Pastor, make... what does apologetic term mean?
Well, apologetic means justify our beliefs logically, not basically.
Okay.
So the idea is not for us to try to explain doctrine, to try to explain God, to try to say God exists or whatever. They can believe what they want to believe. You cannot prove that anyway. It's going to be just argument. Your argument against their argument. That's the last thing to do. You don't want to argue about doctrine. You want to bring them an experience that God is going to touch their heart because they are touched by your story. And that goes much farther than any of the other things that you can ever do. Because God is a God of the heart. He works through the heart. He looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the appearances. He doesn't look at your logic. In fact, the more logic you're going to be, and the farther you're going to be from God, because you cannot understand God. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, I know that when I got my experience with the Lord, I had to put all my logic on the shelf for a number of years before I could understand anything of what I was believing. But I believed it, and that was enough for me to seek the truth and to, you know, receive it. Because the truth is received by revelation, not by logic, not by analysis. That's why Paul didn't pray for the people in the Ephesians. Lord, send them, you know, a logical mind, make them philosopher. No, he said, you know, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is nothing else than the operation of the Holy Spirit illuminating to our mind the things that our mind cannot logically know, because they are not physical, they are spiritual. Any question up to now? Because we are going to get further here. Are you following what I'm saying? Anybody has that experience in their life? Because that's what really boils down to. What is your experience? What, you know, some people, they have been Christian from the very beginning, you know, from when they were kids, but they never questioned anything, they never resolved anything, and they are really still very basic in their experience. Some people have been really messed up because of the things that they went through and because of the changes they had to take in place within themselves. They have been changed enormously and transformed because the power of God was the only way that they could get out of the rut that they were in. Now, so really receive, Jesus said something that was really interesting, you know. Who much receive, much love. Okay, that is was talking about the relation, our relationship with God. If we don't receive too much from God, well, you know, there's not going to be too much love for us toward God, because we don't have a basis to be grateful. Because, but it's not because of God. God is always there. It's that just we were depending too much on ourselves and what we can do ourselves and the religious activity that we have been doing all along. And that really becomes the greatest hindrance to experience and have a relationship with God. because God is relinquished to a set of religious activities instead of actually, you know, experience the truth and transformation in our life. So, what I'm saying is not a logical process we had to go through, but it's an emotional and spiritual process that we had to experience to be able to grow in the Lord. It's not by taking courses or doing Bible study that is happening, but by dealing with God about the different things in our life that need to be addressed and changed. Okay, so let's, you know, examples, you know, for example, what are you talking about? Well, you know, what did you receive from God? There are so many different things that we can receive from God. You know, we can have emotional breakthrough in areas, in fears, in other things that we need to overcome, and God enables us supernaturally to overcome. When that happens, you know that something different takes place. Maybe physical healing that we experienced, okay, that becomes a, you know, important place, important, you know, change that takes place inside us. After you had this kind of experience, you're not the same anymore. Okay. And this is why, unless we had a number of experiences like that, then we tend to be more looking at things from a cultural, educational, training, and so on and so forth, influences of the society, instead of actually being a spiritual experience. Christianity is above everything spiritual, not mental, not just even emotional. Okay. But, you know, a typical example, you know, to exemplify what I'm saying, you know, why young children, you pray for them and often they get instantaneous results when they are 1, 2 years old. I can remember my children. Okay. I mean, some things was almost amazing. But they grow up, and suddenly, nothing happens anymore. What's wrong? A child can receive, because they is not so brainwashed and logically educated by the world and by their senses. And a child that is completely innocent, you pray for them and instantaneously they receive healing. And if they don't receive healing, it's not the problem with the child. It's that the parents are opposing the process because they don't believe. Now, Jesus said that very clearly in many places. You know, don't keep the children from me, because, you know, actually, if you want to enter the kingdom, if you want to see the kingdom, you have to come to it like as a young child. Okay, you know, Mark 10:13 says, you know, but then he brought them little children to him, that he may touch them. But the disciple rebuked those who brought to them. You see, they're just the mentality of religious thing, and they didn't understand these things. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. Was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for to such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Those are big words. He didn't say you're going to enter the kingdom of God by getting a theology degree. He said you enter the kingdom of God like becoming a little child. See, in a way, I had to do that when I initially started my walk with the Lord, because I've been trained logically as a scientist, logically to think about things in a physical way. And one of the first things that the Lord downloaded in me was the fact that this is why the world doesn't see miracles. But miracles is the way God works. That supersede our logic, that goes against what the laws of nature that we know, and it is much bigger. Miracles are real. That was one of the first things that happened to my scientific mind when I met the Lord. The first time I met the Lord, instantaneously, the whole ideas of all the, you know, education that I got, I rejected. And I had to put all my education on the shelf for something like a number of years until I could peel it back and use my logic again, you know, and not just simply go to him like a little child. And I still have to do that. By the way, I have to do it less because I now have a much better spiritual understanding than I had ever before. Anyone that has something corresponding to what I'm saying, some experience that parallels what I've been talking about.
Yes, me too. I think in Romans 10, Romans 10, 14, right down to, you know, 17, I recommend that you read it all. But when it comes to the end, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you're giving your testimony, your witness, what do you think they're hearing? They're hearing the word of God from your faith, what Jesus did for you.
Yeah, that's right. And, that's right. That's right. Amen. So he just, you know, but they see that the way it worked in somebody, okay, so that they can understand if you properly explain what went through. And this is why it's so important that you learn how to give your testimony, okay? What does it really mean to give your testimony? Okay, you tell your experience, the transformation that took place by the power of God in you. They can be of any type. Could be a job situation, could be a relationship situation, you know, with your spouse, with other people. Could be, you know, a healing, a physical healing. Could be an emotional breakthrough and everything else. You know, I remember, for example, you know, when the people have a problem with fear and stuff like that, and the way the Lord ministered to me in that area when, you know, at the very beginning when I started walking with them, and he told me exactly what to do. I hadn't been exposed to any even Pentecostal things or anything, anything. I just, you know, he just used the word, and I knew how to use the word to really substitute those thoughts that were producing fear in me with, you know, the confidence and the word of God, you know, and the promise of God concerning that area, so that I started experiencing and overcoming and breaking it all the time that was coming on me. So, and that's just an example. Okay, so I often, when I minister to people, the problem with fear, I cannot tell my story and I explained what I did, and said, you know, you had to do the same. Basically, you know, people have the funny idea that the only thing they had to do is to go someplace and get somebody to cast the demon out of fear, the demon of fear out of them. That's a stupid idea, and they will never be free. Because doesn't matter how much they cast out, the thing is going to come back if you let them in. If you are born again believer, you can take a position, stand on the word, receive, and then don't come back anymore. Period. You have authority. But you have to exercise authority, not expect somebody else to exercise authority over you when you should have it yourself. Now that aside, I don't know how I got into that, but evidently maybe so I have somebody. But the idea is that what we have to learn to do, okay, is develop our own witnesses or our own testimonies. And, you know, if you want to actually do some outreach, you better do some homework before to prepare for the testimony that you should give that had to do with your life, not with somebody else. In the areas in which you struggled, in the area in which you were transformed from darkness into light. Could be anything. I mean, could be, I don't know, you know, bad negative thought, bad attitude, pornography, whatever. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, God can set us free from all the bondages of darkness and take us into His wonderful light. And when we explain that process to the right person, they are going through the same people, you know, people have always the same type of experiences. Especially somebody that's experiences like you had, you can share with them what you went through. But you had to explain what was like at the beginning, because that's where they are. What you went through, the struggle, the problem they were generating, the, you know, the weakness that you had. And get to the place in which you start showing how God ministered to you, how God revealed the truth to you, how God brought the word to you, so that you could find out the truth and you start applying it to your life. And now you embracing the truth set you free. And then, so there is a beginning, there is a repentance component in which you acknowledge your wrong, acknowledge the things that needed to be corrected. And, acknowledge, you know, like the sin that actually operated in you. And you had to pull that out. You know, when I was an atheist, and the reason why I was an atheist is because I like to do my own thing. And I had to convince myself like everybody else has. And I had to come to the place in which I recognized my sins and I repented of them. And I, you know, had to go before God in repentance and go through the process of healing for myself so that I could receive the forgiveness. And not only the forgiveness, you know, but the thing is, in sharing that with others, they are going to go through the same process in their life. And that is going to be much more effective than accusing them of the things that they're actually doing. Because he said, I did the same. I was the same. I am free now from that because of what I did. That's the only way to get free. And that stuff is gone, because with the sunset free is free indeed. So you are going to mix your experiences, the direction of the Lord, the operation of the Holy Spirit, the struggles that you had, the experience that you had, the way you build up, the way you broke through, and the way actually it should be now that you can say, I am free. There is nothing more effective than doing that. Then when they start to see and they want to go through the same process, that's the time when they ask, then you are qualified. You not only are qualified, but you have the right to speak, because you went through, you have been trained, you had the experience that you can share, that they can relate to, and that you can demonstrate to them how to do and help them along. You don't do that in 10 minutes interaction. No matter where they're coming from. They don't even know the terminology you use. See, this is 1,000 times more effective than all the other methodology that you can learn from many books about evangelism. This is what mostly Paul did in most of the cases. And, depending on some situation, it was different situation. There was, the environment is evidently important. So you had to connect with the person you are relating to, the person that you are talking to, so that they can understand what you're talking about, because they had the same experience that you had. You say, well, I didn't have all the experiences. Well, there are some parallels sometimes. You know, I can't witness to anybody that has been on drugs, because I've never been on drugs. But there are other things that I did that are similar to their situation. So I'm not going to use that to make up a story. I'm going to tell them what I went through in different areas. Any questions? Anybody's hearing what I'm saying?
I know from my personal experience, when I got freedom, and I almost died before I came back to Jesus, okay? From my lifestyle, okay? So I had some dramatic story to share that I could relate to a lot of people.
Yeah. But that's the thing. We all, if we really have been transformed, we all have a dramatic story. If we don't see the drama in it, it's because we didn't have the experience very much. And so we need to actually be sensitized to what actually took place. And that is, but the problem is, there is not just one experience. See, we don't grow in one step. Each step, each growth, each process of growth that we go through throughout all our life is an experience that we can become witness for. That's the thing we have to understand. It doesn't ever stop, because we hopefully don't stop growing. If we grow, that means we deal with God, and in dealing with God, we had to have an experience in which we are transformed and we go through the same process. Yeah. Oh my goodness. All right. Off for an hour. Okay, so see, the bottom line, okay, life is really the things that has to be developed. That's the thing we have to share with others, our life. And, you know, what we have to do is to share the eternal life that is now in us, that is the life of God, and that we got as a result of what he did, not what, you know, what he did, not what we do. We just respond, we just allow him to work on us. Okay. And the Holy Spirit is the most important component of this process, because he is the one that works on us all the time, works on everybody.
Yeah.
But most of the people just shut him out, because they, you know, he's not intrusive, he's not, you know, he just is gentleman, he just treats us nicely, and he tries to convince us to minister to us, not to make us feel guilty, or be, he makes us convict us of the truth. And then all the other part comes together. This is why, you know, when Jesus came back, resurrected, okay, evidently, you know, up to that time, there was not much change in the disciples. You know, not long before, you know, Peter denied Jesus three times, although before I was so keen and everything else. But, you know, once, you know, Jesus came back, okay, and gave them the Holy Spirit, and says, you know, wait on Jerusalem until the power comes on you, so that you don't have only the Holy Spirit inside you, guiding you and directing you and showing you the truth, you know, but you have also power through which you can minister to others. Okay, that's where the difference came. Okay, or those two contribution of the Holy Spirit working in us. And number one, bringing revelation, bringing understanding, bringing life, that comes only after the Holy Spirit comes. Otherwise, we still look at things in the physical, just like the Old Testament. Okay, and that doesn't get very far. But it doesn't stop there. Plus, you know, when to the revelation and the perception and the, you know, spiritual thing can be spiritually discerned when we start to be able to do that. Then, and the power comes. That is a completely different ball game. Okay, now there is power operating through us and, you know, doing things supernaturally. But if the Holy Spirit hasn't worked in before, the power often is going to be messed up and not very clean. And we can see that, you know, in much of the charismatic movement.
Hi, Pastor.
Hello, Columbia.
Hi. Yes, to what you're saying, I just want to share an experience I had this week. About 2 weeks ago, and the gentleman, I met him again this week. He came to my second place to do some repairs. Immediately when he walked in, he's like, oh, why are they doing this to me? And, you know, he started complaining, and he said that, you know, that there is a battle going on in my life. And he said that that I was in a car accident. Like, I don't know him and he doesn't know me. Like, it was the first time we met. Immediately, the Holy Spirit started ministering to me. He wasn't speaking like from the spirit of the Lord, but he has like a seeing spirit. And so I stopped him immediately. I said, tell me, who are you? And he said that he has a seeing spirit and da da da. Anyway, he went in his own life, like he and his wife, like they're doing that, and they have a website and all these things. And I told him that's not what God wants for him, because he asked me, he said, I have some power that is protecting me. And I told him, I don't have any power, but I have God. And I started to explain to him, what happened. And he said, okay, that now he can see clearly. But, and the Holy Spirit started ministering to me. And I told him, a couple of things. And he started crying. He said, he knows that what I said is true. And he asked me, how did I know this? And I told him, God has a good ministry for him. So it's up to him, because he's at the crossroads and he has to make a decision. So 2 weeks after, he came this week and he told me, but it's hard for him to make a decision because he's making money from the spirit he has, and the way he's, because he tells people things which are true, but it doesn't come, it's not coming from God.
Yeah.
But part of it is true. And so and people are paying him. And so he asked me, he will lose the income. I told him, okay, that I cannot make that decision for him. It's up to him whether he wanna, follow God or, not follow God. Is up to him.
Or the money.
So, yeah. Anyway, that's right. And so he took my phone number, and he says he would like to stay in touch with me. But because if he doesn't make a decision, there is no church, there is no prayer that will help him.
No.
And now he's seen, it's really up to him to make that decision whether he wants to follow money.
Yep.
Or he want to go the hard way and follow God, because it's not going to be easy. I told him, it's not going to be easy.
It's not the hard way, but that's the way, yeah. It's the hard way to go the wrong way.
That's right. But I'm praying for him, and this is something I'd like also the congregation to pray for him, because it's not easy. But the prayers we make may have a platform for him to help him make the right decision. Sure. Knowing that, and his life is amazing, and he's about 25 years old, and he's already in his third marriage, and in every marriage he had children, so he has some financial responsibility. And I told him, that's how the devil entangles people with wrong faith, based on the destiny God has for them. So it's up to him to sort out things. But I don't know how things will go. But the decision is his.
Absolutely. And,
but he was receptive. But I know when he will go, the seed will go unless he make a decision.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's the thing. It's always decisions that produces the difference. And we all face decisions. There is a time in which we decide, and that time is critical if we choose the right thing or not. Absolutely. Well, we can lift them up. whatever his name is, that Lord have
his
shown.
His name is David.
David?
Yes.
Okay, that he may be able to see the truth, because only the truth can set us free.
Amen.
There is no money in the world that can buy our freedom. We get freedom only by obeying God and responding to the truth that he shows us, especially when he went all the way to bring to the place that we can actually see it, and we are in the place in which we have to respond to that. We have always a time in which, a critical time like that, that we had to answer, and that is going to make all the difference in our life. So we just ask you that the Lord may open his eyes of all the impact and the consequences that that decision that he's going to be making is going to have in his life. And we praise and thank you, Lord, for we know that it's your desire for him to set free, because you would not have sent him there at this time to find out what he found. And we praise and thank you for that, because it shows your goodness, your mercy. Doesn't matter where we come from, Lord, you want us to know the truth, to find freedom and peace and a relationship with you, Lord, not just for this world, but for eternal life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, let me see here. I wanted to, so I want to emphasize that what I said up to now, you know, start making a list of your transformational experiences that you had. Start there. Start before you make up any testimony. Just start there, start identifying things, start asking the Holy Spirit to help you to see through the thing, because sometimes we haven't focused enough on these things to really formulate in our mind something clear. We had to see clearly what happened, we had to see clearly the process that took place, and we had to be able to share it with others. And the more things like that we have, and sometimes, you know, we went through experiences we didn't even realize we went through. But there were changes, major changes, okay? Because we weren't focusing on them. That's what we had to learn to recognize. The end of work of God working in our life in producing the light where was darkness. And how that worked in us, what kind of process we went through, so that we can share that process and relate it to scriptures, so that, you know, without getting too much terminology, but make it as simple as possible, so that they can connect with us. It's not by telling, you know, you had to accept Jesus, you know, they had to see you accepting Jesus in your process, accepting what God wants to do in your life, and the change that that made from the past to the present. And that is what you have to bring about, what you have to show clearly. Is that clear? You got, that's your homework. Okay? Just start. Don't think that it's going to be done in a day. You know, just over time, just start working on it so that you can actually have a testimony instead of, you know, talking about the Lord. You talk about what the Lord has done in your life, because that makes it real. Okay. Let me see. Yeah, 30 almost. Okay. Let me see. Yeah. You know, one of the things that made a difference in the disciples at the beginning of their ministry, after the Holy Spirit came down on them, was the strength of the experiences they had with the Holy Spirit and with everything that took place, and the transformation that took place. That before they were chicken, they were afraid of anything, they didn't dare to stand, and after they have courage to face, you know, the council, for example, after, you know, the healing at the beautiful gate, and they were, you know, essentially told not to, you know, preach anymore in the name of Jesus and everything else, you know, you see their response, you know, they was completely unaffected by what they were saying. I mean, they were essentially saying, we're going to beat you up, to throw in jail. And he says, you know, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all on the and teach them the name of Jesus. And that is just not accepted. But Peter and John answered and said to them, okay, whatever it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. See, the things that we are going through, I mean, that stuff is real. When God works, it changes you. Especially if you start fully realizing what took place. And that produces much more power than any classic, you know, program, any education, any, you know, any study or anything. This is God's power working in you. And nobody can take it away. They were ready to die for it. And many, most of them did. Because that was, you know, what they were spreading in an environment that was negative and contrary to what they were doing. And the enemy tried to use people to do that to them, but they didn't care. That's power. So, I'm going to suggest, okay, that you start developing your own plan. Starting to make a list of the real transformation experiences that you had in your life. Okay. Prepare your testimony. Writing down, taking notes, okay, of the phases of that transformation. Starting with before, identifying the problem, the problems you are going through, the struggle and everything else, the process according to which, you know, you came to believe, decide, repent, the resistance and the struggle that you experienced not to do so, like, you know, for the guy now with the money that is involved, always something, you know, the enemy always bring up stuff. And finally, you know, the decision and the change and the process took place after the realization and the change, and now it is now. Now, the way it is now is critical. Because that is what, you know, is the end of the story. It's the light, it's the power, it's the freedom, it's the peace, it's the healing, or whatever it is. Okay. That's the starting point. That deals with yourself. Then there is the other part. The people you know, the people you are in contact with, the people that you are in your under your influence one way or another. Okay, and there are different people of that type. You know, just, you know, you will be witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. So, you know, people that are close to you, that are family, friends, and so on. In Judea, they're regular acquaintances, co-workers, neighbors, and so on. Samaria, you know, people that actually are really different from you, and that you really don't maybe have very little in common, but you still, you are in contact. You may even not like them. That doesn't matter. And then the, to the end of, you know, anybody that the Lord brings to your heart, start making a list of them and start identifying in them the similarities that they have with your experience or the way you can minister to them. Start identify in you, okay, the similarity that they have one with another so that you can group them together. Pray for them, okay? And finally, okay, you know, this, the type of strength, how the Lord could use them, and how, you know, to show what the Lord can do, what the Lord can actually wants to do through them. Because the strength that they have are actually things that were put there by God before. Okay, so that you show them how to bring about the transition, those three changes. And start praying for them, for guidance, how you can minister to them, how can reach them, how can help them to overcome the obstacles. And, you know, and then ask for direction to the Lord to show you some people to focus on, to start with, so that you, you know, maybe start with the easy one, start the, you know, but don't just get one person. Just take more than one and start working on them, because this is the way you are going to learn. That's the way you are going to grow and have experiences. So that's the background. Now it comes the implementation. And I stop right here for tonight. Any comments?
Thank you, Pastor.
That was good, Pastor. That was really good.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome. See, we want to get the Holy Spirit to do the work, because you cannot save anybody. But if you start cooperating with the Holy Spirit through what He has done already, that are giving you experience, and you allow it to use to work through you, then this is going to be the most exciting things that you can ever experience. Because there is nothing better than to see the God's power working in you in situations like this. Okay. That's all the comments I have.
We don't want to get too proud, okay?
It's a lot. We have to digest all of this. Overwhelming, Pastor. Thank you.
Oh, well, no, that's just, you know, it's actually very easy. It's much easier than what most of the people say. Because it's really not dependent on you. It's really to connect with God and what He has done with you. Isn't it? So, Amen. You know, what boils down is, okay, we have been walking with God all this time. What happened? How we can use what He has done with us to minister to others? You don't need to go to any school. That's the school of the Holy Spirit. He's been working on you for as many years as you've been with Him. So don't approach it mentally. Don't approach it through your thinking. Okay? Approach it in faith. See, now we talked about what God has done. Now let's walk in the Spirit. That's what has to happen. And we have been talking about walking in the Spirit in the last little while. So this, you know, this connects everything together. It's amazing how God works on different areas in parallel, and one it matches with the other and reinforces the other. So the things you have been learning about walking in the Spirit applies 100% to what I've been talking tonight. Do you see that?
Yes. But Pastor, the Lord has started working on us before we gave our life to the Lord. He started before.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he works from the very beginning all the time on everybody. So, you know, there is, but really, the real experiences with him comes when the transformation takes place, when we respond.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so that's, you know, we see, that's why, you know, you talk about before, what happened, the different things, how, you know, the trouble, the conflict, the, you know, the things to resolve the issues, okay, the crisis, if you want, and what bring about the transformation, that is the acceptance of what the Lord wants, and then the manifestation of the thing. So that that's what has to come out. That's what I'm saying. It's important. Okay. But, you know, to really do a good job for something like that, it takes more than, you know, you can talk for hours just in one experience. Or for 5 minutes when you have the opportunity, when and so you had to learn to adjust it according to, so you, if you haven't thought about it very carefully and, you know, receive from the Lord different insight and understanding, becomes very difficult to do it properly in a short period of time. So you need to have done the homework and then you just let it go and let the Holy Spirit bring out the words from you that are appropriate for that situation with that particular people.
I have a question, Pastor. Like, if you want to make a list of all the things, I would probably think maybe of putting all the things that hurt me in the past, that bothered me, you know, when I used to live with my family, when my dad was still alive, whatever. And then on the left side and on the right side, I could write, how did God help to change me from bad to better? And compare the two, maybe, and that might work.
That's exactly, see, this is exactly, I mean, the hurts, the wrong thing, the world is a mess. And so, you know, we had to cope with this, and we don't have the strength in ourselves to cope with it. But there is where, you know, when we met God and God shows us the way, then we know how to do it, we can deal with it, and we are changed, set, transformed, and set free. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that's fine. But there are many things that, you know, we can share about, you know, experiences with people, experiences with situations, with work, with ever. So,
because it's when I joined the church that I learned things.
Yeah.
And that's when transformation took place, but it didn't take place before, even though God was looking after me.
Well, that's what I was saying to
God,
see.
God lives everywhere in time.
God works, talks to everybody, but we don't hear it because we are caught up in thinking the wrong way. So it's when the word starts ministering to us that we start reading from God, and the Holy Spirit gives us the truth and differentiate the truth from the lies, then we start to judge things properly. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay.
That was good. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, if we don't have any more questions,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Pastor, I really learned a lot tonight from your message, and I'm going to start implementing them.
Good. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, this is a process. This is the same process of learning to be used by God through the things that He used, that He worked on us. Okay, it's just a question of learning to do that rather than learning to, you know, minister religion to people.
Yes.
So
yes.
We minister experiences.
Yes.
We minister our life. Mm-hmm. Okay? And when we share our life, then, and it's true, nobody can say anything because they didn't go through. But, you know, there is a sound of truth that comes true because we are really opening ourselves up. We are not hiding behind, you know, holier than thou attitude or whatever. You know, we are ourselves and we show, you know, how God works in lives so that yeah. they can, you know, identify with the process because we all could go through similar things.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so that is a human life, human nature is the same. And so, you know, but we have a story that shows how it ends, how it can end. And the way it ends is good when God does it.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Marcio?
Yes, Patty.
Yeah.
We're the story that God wants us to share with the people mm-hmm. that we come in contact with. And
yeah, absolutely.
And over the years, I mean, I've learned that about making Christ known wherever I go and whatever I do.
Yeah.
I think, but most of all, learning how to learning that my line has to be line up with the Word of God, like in the workplace or whatever you're doing, is being accountable. What would Jesus do in every situation? And allowing your light to shine. If you only got, we're told you only got 15 minutes for break at work. At work, when I worked at Bell, I took 15 minutes, and it was hard to get up with. Working with the other girls or whatever, you know, and they knew where I was coming from. And it's just allowing God to let your light shine and then having him allowing, giving you opportunities by the Holy Spirit to share your life.
Yeah.
And I remember that. And it's about in each of our lives, we've got so many miracles of what God has done. And people right. need to know how big of a God we serve because it's not really us. It's how big he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's
absolutely
he's unbelievable, you know?
Yeah.
And how does God provide for us? Is it because we can put something on a credit card or can we wait and say, I'm praying for this. I'm allowing God to work in my life to provide this for me. And my one of the things God has taught me on faith is about a car. And once I learned that, I said, okay, Lord, you will provide me with a vehicle when it's time to get a vehicle. And I won't be on debt, won't be going into debt, and I will not be leasing a car because I'm to owe no man anything. I'm not going to be in bondage to a monthly payment. And anyways, God has shown me that I can trust him for a car. And I can live by faith on that. That's one of the things that he has taught me about faith. And if there's, and he wants the world to know that he can provide for his people. And that's what George Mueller did.
Yeah.
How did George Mueller walk in faith? Because it started off when he was a minister.
Yeah.
It started off, you know, and he says, I'm not proving to the world, the non-Christians, I'm proving to the church that you can trust God for everything.
Amen.
Yeah.
And it's like walking in faith. And the thing is that it's when you walk that way, you have money to spend on other things that maybe God wants you to spend them on. Anyway, it's a wonderful journey. It's a great journey. And we've got a beautiful story to tell.
Amen. Many stories. Yeah, that's right.
Many stories.
Yep. Amen. Okay, good. So, we'll close for tonight.
Okay.
And I'll see you Sunday. And I'm going to, you know, put some announcement on the church website so that everybody that wasn't here, you can know what's happening, and we can close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that you love us, you care for us, and you take care of all our needs according to your riches, Lord. Lord, that we may never forget that we may, Lord, put our trust in you and not in anything else, on our ideas or our abilities or things, but, Lord, in what you can do. Lord, you said that you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. And so, Lord, we just right now thank you for that. Thank you for the assurance, Lord, that you take care of all our needs. And thank you, Lord, that you loved us even before we knew you, that you worked on our life, and you continue to work day by day, even if sometimes we miss it completely, even if sometimes, Lord, we are just hard of hearing, and our heart is even hard sometimes. But, Lord, you are always there to help us to change, to be transformed, to be brought into the light instead of the darkness. And we praise and thank you for that, especially in these times, which this is becoming more and more important. We give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, that we may be glorify you, Lord, by believing in you, obeying you, and allowing you to empower us to be your people and to minister to others. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. And amen.
Amen.
Okay, guys.
All right. Thank you, Marcio.
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Pastor.
Yes. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.